Because it's one of those days that's proclaimed by man, as other holidays are, that we've set out, and not as a part of God's holy days, but a part of something that when you take a look at these, and you've got to figure out sometimes which are the holy days that would be okay or good for us to observe outside of God's holy days, because again, these days proclaimed by man, I'll go through a couple of them, are not worship days. They're not, they don't take away from God's law. They're more of a thanksgiving or more of a memory to things that have happened within our country. And frankly, as I stopped just to go back a little bit, as I stopped at the friend's house in the just south of it, the Atlanta area, he's involved. He goes out to these Civil War battle sites, and they have the metal detectors, and he's got a whole huge collection that used to be, he donated to this one site where they had all these Civil War artifacts and stories of the things that took place. And somebody new came into town and wants to erase all that history for whatever reason. And as you know, as you watch the media and the news, that's where our country is going. They look at it not as we might look at it as history, whether you look at it as something bad that happened in our country, and there was that division in our country, but it killed a lot of people. And it was amazing as I looked at some of these artifacts. They were like new bullets, and he would tell me about the guns that they were shot in, and big, huge, heavy cannonballs, and some of them were broken apart. And I said, well, how did that work back then? They made this huge, heavy ball, and they would bore a hole into it. And then they would put gunpowder in there and put a wick in there. So when it was shot out of the cannon, it had a wick on it as well. So when it landed, there was a timer, and maybe 3 seconds or 2 seconds, that thing would explode. And you had all these pieces of shrapnel. And when I thought about that, I go, this is insane. Think about that. Just because we have disagreements, people are killing each other, and they're trying to find out more effective ways to do that. And it's horrible what that would do to tear apart somebody's body, and it's gone on since man has begun. We just try to think of more effective ways to do it. And just stopping and thinking about that, I go, wow, God, do we need your return? And you know who's behind that. You know, this is because it's insanity. This is insane. Who would ever think of doing that? And yet, because of the disagreements, people will continue to kill each other in the most horrendous ways. It's just awful. We certainly need Christ to return. But we have a day coming up here now. We can get together with our families, and we can actually thank God and be thankful, not just waiting to that day, though. But it is a day that we can stop, put it aside, and think about what God has done, the blessing of our children. We just, you know, at least we can say this now that my daughter is having twins coming this April, and my son, they're having one as well. I can't remember if it's a boy or a girl. They're not sure, but they're both doing it in April of this coming year. So all of a sudden, I'm going to be a grandpa of three more. Wow, how's that happen? And some of you are in that position as well. But it's a time to get together, to be with our families. And sometimes we're scattered out. We don't always get that opportunity. So we're grateful that we can get together with our family to enjoy the abundance. We're doing the regular turkey, and that's going to be great. You know, I don't know if we do turkey during the year. Most of the time it's chicken or something else. But we're doing that Thanksgiving turkey. But, you know, still today, there are times in which the descendants of the scattered tribes of Israel have set aside times of thanksgiving, especially it may be times of deliverance. So you can see what the Jewish people have done sometimes with Hanukkah and with the Feast of Purim. What days do we set aside today for contemplation and reflection? Not to mention revelry, carousing, and drunkenness. In fact, many believe that these days of being paid for not working are entitlements. So we seem to add more days all the time, and we expect people to pay them for us. And that's an interesting mindset that people can get into when they become entitlements. You have, for instance, New Year's Day. The federal holidays, such as New Year's Day, first day of the civil year, is still observed. Martin Luther King Day, the third Monday in January, recognizes the birthday of the peaceful civil rights activist. When you think about these days, is there really anything really wrong with them? Well, obviously, if someone were to ask, I say, well, normally because of what New Year's Day entails, we normally don't associate ourselves with it. Is it wrong to get together? You know, you question that. Does the Bible say it's wrong? We normally would not do that. We acknowledge that it's the first of the year, but we also realize it's party time for most people, isn't it? That's what the first of, or New Year's Day, or the first of the civil year does. Martin Luther King Day, I think it's good to acknowledge that we had changed that truly according to our Declaration and Constitution that all men truly are created equal. I think that was a good thing to happen in our country. It caused a lot of problems, obviously, and divisions, but good that we came to that conclusion that truly not a lot of people think that today. There's a big movement that's really promoting that so many people are racist, which I believe that there is racism, but I believe it's across the board racism. I don't think it has to do with just one color either. And so there is a problem there. President's Day. I don't think that's a problem with that. It was actually a recognition of President George Washington's birthday, honoring maybe the presidents who have led our countries, both good and bad in that sense, Memorial Day. So we have a lot of these different days. Independence Day, I think that's a very positive one for our country. Appreciation, again, for what, once again, God has done in blessing us to have this country. Labor Day. Honors the American labor movement and the contributions that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of the country. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It gives us a little time together to appreciate it. Once again, the mindset is there, though. There are some people that just look at that as a day off to go ahead and party or whatever they want to do there, or we can take a look at it once again as being thankful. Columbus Day, Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving Day, which we come to. There are probably so many more than that. The list goes on with that. I won't go into the other ones. Obviously, we're coming up on Christmas and Hanukkah, known as the Festival of Lights or the Festival of Dedication. I'll just talk about that a little bit. It's an eight-day Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Maccabean revolt against the Seleucid Empire of the 2nd century. And that's observed for 8 days and nights. And going through that one time, I remember addressing that as we had some friends that were Jewish and kind of wondered why we didn't, maybe celebrate. We had mentioned, number one, we said, we're not Jewish. So we don't partake of that per se. The second part about it, though, is we were watching how close it comes to being associated with Christmas. That's the big issue with which we had as well. There's a woman named Diane Ashton. She attributed the popularization of Hanukkah by some of the American Jewish community as a way to adapt to American life because they could celebrate Hanukkah, which occurs at around the same time as Christmas. So we tend to veer and stay away from that kind of thing. Again, you've got to think those out sometimes when you recognize what's being observed and why it's being observed. But again, these the ones that we're talking about, July 4th, some of the others, Memorial Day, have nothing to do with a worship service at all. But going back to some history, in 1621, in spite of their many hardships, and you can look back to what some of the people went through, it was very hard when people came over here to try to establish a new country, the difficulties and the loss of life and thoughts of returning to their homeland, the pilgrims appointed a day of thanksgiving. Now, our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, acknowledged the day nationally in 1863, and in 1941, so it went as far as taking that long, Congress passed into law that the fourth Thursday of each November be officially recognized as Thanksgiving Day. So this coming Thursday, we will enjoy a time of food, family, and fellowship, but I'm not sure that we should observe Thanksgiving Day as much as we should employ Thanksgiving as our way of life. So the title, if you want a title today, it's Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, getting. Sometimes when you get so spoiled, the mentality of the country changes, which it has. And you get more that see things as entitlements. In fact, sometimes we don't even know, as we're talking about things such as food, did you ever think about that when you're thinking about what you're going to eat for that day or that evening, whatever it might, maybe your main meal. You're thinking, you know, I've already had chicken, I'm kind of tired of that, and I'd like to have this. Could you imagine having one of our brethren from Africa in that conversation when we would say something, well, I'm kind of tired of that, I think I'll try that. Again, we go through that because we're so blessed, and it's not a sin that we do that, obviously, but sometimes we have to stop and go, wow, you know, look at all the blessings and abundance and opportunities that we can basically get anything you want, and we come to the point of getting tired of certain things. Wow. It's an interesting mentality. So maybe this Thanksgiving we can give a little bit more mind to that and thanking God for the tremendous blessings and abundance and actually passing that, because people are not passing that to their children. And they don't know, and they're forgetting the history of what God has done. Our thanks to God should not be stored up until the fourth Thursday of every November. Rather, we should express our thanks to God every day by how we give and how we live. I love the admonition in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll just reference because we'll be going to some others. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." So sometimes, you know, there's a lot of questions we ask. Well, what is God's will? Paul said, this is the will of God that we should be thankful. And I know Mr. Horchek just quoted a scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer coupled with thanksgiving, right? This is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Paul was saying that thanksgiving is not only something which God deserves, but it is something which God commands. It is something that he requires. God not only desires that we thank him with our lips, but that we thank him by how the way we live our lives. One named C.H. Spurgeon once said, quote, "Gratitude is the only fountain of acceptable service. Without it, the streams are far too defiled to flow in the paradise of God," unquote. William Shakespeare said, quote, "O Lord, that lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness," unquote. If there is anything a Christian ought to be, it's thankful. Vincent de Paul was correct when he said, quote, "We should spend as much time in thanking God for his benefits as we do in asking for them," unquote. So the Bible has much to say about being thankful. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we read what is called the Song of Thanksgiving. And verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16 reads, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And of course, as you're well aware of, we sing many songs that are replete with songs of thanksgiving. Four stanza line, "O give thanks unto the Lord, give thanks to God, for he is good." That's one we've done for so many years. The place where thanksgiving should be a part of our lives is expressed in how David appointed two men named Heman and Jeduthun to continually be giving thanks before the Ark of the Covenant. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 41, verse 41. Two men, Heman and Jeduthun, were dedicated to be constantly be giving thanks before God. And you wonder about that. How could one do that? How could one not? I could just think, and just over the last 2 weeks, come up with pages and pages of thanksgiving for what God has done, for the meals that we have eaten, for the safety and protection, for getting together with friends, for being able to continue a camp program, for God placing us in the church of God, for giving wisdom. I mean, the list could keep going on and on for the gratefulness. And yet, I realize, too, there are people here that have been hard hit with trials in the past months, in the past years. Everyone here has gone through these things. And yet we still have ways and a heart that's grateful to God for the knowledge that he's given to us of the way things are going to be okay. They're going to be okay, and they are going to get together. And we have that hope and thanksgiving to look forward to. So thanksgiving should be a perpetual and continual practice in the life of those who have been called. So let's take a look at Psalm 100, which has been affectionately referred to as the Old 100. The psalmist is describing a public offering of thanksgiving. So let's take a look at Psalm 100 as we go beyond the references that I've given today. Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100. I'd like to actually go back, and there is a quote here. So many quotes. One from William Ward that says, God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? Another one from Robert Casper Lintner. He says, thanksgiving was never meant to be shut up for a single day. Some more, I'll give you some quotes later, but let's go over to Psalm 100. Its title is Song of Thanksgiving. Mike Headliner says a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. So it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That one I just captured today because I believe everybody like here enjoys singing. That's what we just did at the start of our service. And we don't take that for granted. Wonderful time to come before God. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So as we come here today, sometimes as hard as we might have it, I know getting out of the car, just everything's sore still. And I know a lot of you are so much worse, but just stiff. And you get out and go, oh, wow. And you go, well, thank you, God, that I can get in here and walk, that I can come before your presence, and I can come to the Sabbath service, come to the Feast of Tabernacles, come to your holy days and honor you. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It's a wonderful psalm that's written there. Psalm 105 in verse 1 reads, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. And as you might read some of these songs, you'll remember the hymn. Oh, give thanks and praise the eternal. Those are all like favorites, aren't they? I love some of these hymns that sometimes you can just be in the car and just sing out a song that you remember. Some of us have joked about some of these songs being prison hymns and things of that nature, that if you find yourself by yourself, you can sing a hymn. And thankfully, if you've got maybe someone with you, your wife or someone else or a couple other people, maybe you'll remember one of the stanzas and someone will remember the other one. It's hard to get through all those, but just, you know, it's just so much enjoyment and thanksgiving that you can get out when you remember these songs. All over the Bible, you'll find this command to give thanks to the Lord. It's in the Old and New Testament. It's a duty to give thanksgiving to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 reads, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Ephesians chapter 5 is expressed once again in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks in all things, and give thanks for all things. That may present a bit of a problem. We can understand how to give thanks in all things, but the verse also says, give thanks to God for all things. How does one thank God for all things? How do you thank God for the bad things that have happened? Matthew Henry, who wrote one of the widely known Bible commentaries, was taken by a thief and robbed on one occasion. After he was robbed, Matthew Henry said, quote, I thank you, Lord, because it is the first time I've ever been robbed. Second, I thank you because he took my purse and not my life. Third, I thank you because though he took my all, it was not very much. Fourth, I thank you because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Do we ever think of that? You know, of the families that we grow up in. I see other, sometimes when you see a problem with a child, and you might be able to dig in and find out where this child has come from. On occasion when I've had some, this goes all the way back to when I was a counselor for some of the kids, and you know, we might have had a problem kid, and you find out that he may come from a broken family, that maybe he was abused by a parent, you just never know. But I look back and I'm so grateful for my family. I had a good mom and a good dad. I had a great, a wonderful grandma and a wonderful grandpa. I didn't get to meet my dad's dad, but I really look forward to meeting him. He was a civil engineer for the city of Detroit. And I look back to where my dad was sitting on his lap. I've got some of those pictures. I never met him. I can't wait not only to see my dad again, but to meet my dad's dad and others. So many things we can look at and be thankful for. So many breaches, by the way, that will be healed as well. Imagine people coming unto you. If you were hurt by anybody and God gives them the spirit of people coming up to you and saying, I'm so sorry, tremendously sorry for what I did. And because of God's spirit, you'll be able to go, you know something? I forgave you a long time ago. I realized it wasn't you. It was the spirit of Satan that was stirring you up. He wanted to divide and kill everybody. Even for all things, there is something for which we can thank God. It's a day, it's a duty, it's a delight. Thanksgiving is one of those delightful things that we can learn in life. To be thankful is healthy. It's one of those activities that create good emotional health. It's got a healing and cleansing power because it's positive being around family. We must grow in our ability to be thankful to God. Psalm 103 could be called the Thanksgiving Psalm. There are many of them, but this is really is a Thanksgiving song. Let's take a look at that. In fact, Psalm 103. Very important that we read this from because it reminds us of what God is, what does for us and his nature. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Did that ever strike you in a certain way one time? So anybody that has a job, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody has a job that had benefits? Because again, these become entitlements. You know, you think you would work for someone and you get a wage, they're going to pay you a wage. And later on, and there was always a shift in balance between management and the unions. I've been through that one, where unions were good for a while when people weren't getting the correct pay. And then it went the other way. And now people are making so much for being unskilled labor that many of the car plants had to shut down. I saw that coming. But some of the benefits, you might get your wage, but you might get health care. And all of a sudden, what happens with our politicians? Remember what happened? Healthcare becomes an entitlement. So you know what happens. So it becomes an entitlement. So your employer now has to pay for your healthcare. Do you think the employer becomes less rich or less wealthy? And again, sometimes, again, there are employers that try to have a fair wage as well. So there has been a bad shakedown sometimes of the wealthy in our country, and as I was listening to so many at one point, when you really do the research, there are a lot of millionaires out there that didn't go that way. They earned what they did, and they were smart with what they did. But you raise those wages, and they're going to be passed on to the consumer. That's what happens. So again, as we think these things out, we can be more grateful. Wow, you got a job with benefits. You get all these days paid. Does that seem to be fair? Doesn't really, does it? When you think about it, God says you work for what you receive. But now you work for what you receive, but then all of a sudden there's an expectation that you get a week off and then another week off, and then another week off. And then if you're having a child, which is your choice, there's an expectation that you get maternal leave. So all these entitlements. Now, certainly is a blessing. If you've got that, I mean, I sure wouldn't say no to it, but it's kind of rolled into your employment as well. I realize that as well. But see, God's benefits sometimes we forget as well. It shows some of these here. Who forgives your iniquities? Benefit. Iniquities are forgiven. Sins are forgiven. Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? I just gave you an explanation, just a story. I don't want to ever forget that. I love coming down that highway 155 because at 23 years old, it changed my life. I saw that direction I was at, and God was merciful to me. And one day I just said, you know, I'd like to go to that college. And here my dad could have been so disappointed in me, and I thought about that, because he wanted me to be an engineer. And I told my youngest son, Zach, I said, your dad would be so proud of you in a good way right now. So thankful for what you did. He got his engineering degree. That was great. I didn't finish mine, but I wanted to go to this college. And my dad, who wasn't in the church, didn't complain. He just said, just, son, whatever you do, put all your might into it. Biblical principle. And I did. Changed my entire life, and I wouldn't be here today without that trip on 155 to Highway 80. What about you and your examples in your life? We can take the time this week to think about all the blessings despite all the hardships. And once again, I'm looking at people that have gone through a lot of hardships, and yet you're still here. We're still singing praises to God, and He hears that. And He will give you happiness and peace still in this life. Who satisfies, verse 5, your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can't believe I made that trip. And it seemed to go by so fast. And sometimes we're just so tired, and yet you get up the next day and you ask God. You're tired? You're worn out? He'll give you the help. He'll give you the strength that you need. We ask Him to be thankful. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. You know, one of the benefits I'll share with you, I won't mention the name, but there was one that I'm aware of that she didn't want to take the vaccination, so she was confronted by her work that said, if you don't take it, you're fired. And so I gave her a letter, which the church supports someone's personal conviction, and they still pretty much rejected it. They said, they finally said, we won't fire you, but we're going to take away your benefits. You're not going to get any bonuses. And thinking about that, as you would, that doesn't seem to be fair at all. There's a lot of unfairness that's going on. So she looked into it, and finally looked at maybe getting an attorney. Well, the attorney was going to cost initially $400. So for an attorney to write a letter. So it's so interesting. She was within the time frame, within the quarter, that they gave her a bonus. And the bonus paid for that attorney. The attorney wrote the letter, and they told her, you don't have to take the vaccination. And I said, isn't that ironic? The company that was going to fire her gave her the bonus to pay for the attorney to write the letter. It just, you smile at some of those things, and I know it's probably happened in all of our lives in one form or another. That's the way our God works. And sometimes He allows us to get fired. Been there, done that. But when you're living according to His will and His purpose, it always works out for the greatest. When I had stayed with this person down in Georgia years ago, I remember being in his garage where his office was. And he said, Eric, he goes, I've got all this stuff. I don't know how I'm going to deal with all this stuff. Old violins, a car. He's going, I can't get rid of this car because, you know, his relative did not want to get rid of it, yet there was no place else to put it, so it was stuck in that garage. 2 weeks later, that garage burned down. Guess that took care of that. Didn't have all this stuff. And of course, when you look at it, you're going, oh, all my stuff. You were just complaining about your stuff. We all have stuff. A lot of times, most of us cannot figure out what to do with our stuff. I kind of am starting to figure out with it. I'm going to keep taking trips down to Texas and take it down there to a storage barn down there. Really, so, really, we think about this. And first, I had thought about that when it happened. I go, isn't that ironic? He was just telling me that he didn't know what to do with this. And he rebuilt that place into something that was so beautiful. And he had a dance studio up on the top for his daughters. And to this day, it's really a joy and a blessing. And our deacon in Asheville has that Mustang. He restored it. So very interesting how all the, I a feeling like lemons were going to be turned into lemonade. How many has that happened to us in our lives? I can think, again, things that I don't want to forget. Sometimes we forget about those things. I suggest as we remember them, maybe we ought to jot them down. You know why? You can share them with others. I love your hearing your lemonade stories. I love to share mine because it makes me thankful to God for what he's done. So you can see all these things where he has this character. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. So does God get mad? Yes, he does. Like a father would, any father would, but he's so merciful. As if you were in Myrtle Beach this year, and Mr. Walker was talking about his escapade. I love, again, hearing those and sharing those. If you wanted to hear a wonderful sermon, that was one on the Sabbath by Mr. Walker. But he mentioned when he came and he got into his fourth floor room and he was right above the pool and the music was blaring and there they were at the feast and going, can we not find another room? Let's just go out to dinner and we'll just deal with it with this. And he was mentioning that some of these things that confront the brethren. He said, you know, is it wrong to be upset? Remember, for those of you that might have been there, some of us were going, it's wrong for us. He goes, no, it's not. You can be upset. There is nothing wrong with being upset. You're entitled to be upset or angry about something, but it's how we handle it, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with being upset or angry at a situation that confronts us, but then it's how do we deal with it? Did you get cheated out of something? Did you get a bad, stinky room? I paid all this, and all of a sudden I'm in here, and it's, well, it's how you deal with it. Can you go take care of it? Yes, you can. Absolutely. But how we deal with it again? You know, I paid a lot of money for this room. Go to the management. Is there something that you have? Can you come and look at the room and see that it's not acceptable? Yeah, all of us go through these different things. And the attitude changes and reflects on who we are, our character. Are we grumpy? As you know, Mr. Frenchick probably came up here and gave his grumpy sermon, didn't they? Don't come to the feast grumpy. Don't come to Sabbath services grumpy. Be happy. It's a joyful time to get together with God's people, isn't it? And sometimes it just takes the thought, and we can start to become ungrateful. Shakespeare once said, quote, I hate ingratitude more than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any cant of vice whose strong corruption and habits are frail blood, unquote. And then he said again, quote, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child, unquote. The poet Milton once said, quote, he that is ungrateful has no guilt but one, for all other crimes may pass for the virtues with that man, unquote. In other words, if you are ungrateful, everything else about you, even if it's a crime, may seem good if you have an ungrateful heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, I'll quote this here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Let's go to Psalm 106 and verse 4. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Again, this is something you can go back into history. You know, I was one that I don't know if you had the same opinion, but I was never really interested when I was in my teens in history. I don't feel I had a really good history teacher. But later on in that transformation, when I came to college, I had a really good teacher who kind of put the history together. And so I'm liking history a lot more than I ever. In fact, when I saw Dr. Levy's Ezekiel series, you know, when you see Ezekiel, the importance of seeing Ezekiel is watching what's going on now. Simply, this is just a repeat. God sent his warning. The nations came down, and we're in that spot where, as we're watching, our nation is going down. All of us can watch that and see what's taking place. It's nothing really new. It's just more in a modern age, but the same things are happening. In Psalm 106 and verse 4, it says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you bear to your people. Visit me with your salvation." Again, remind me of what this all about, because it takes away sometimes those hardships that you confront us, because this is just a short time, isn't it? Just a short time. And every week that goes by, I just remember being here 3 weeks ago. And sometimes I try to be mindful of that. I didn't do it this year before the feast, but I would say to you, I'll go, guess what? We're looking forward to such a wonderful feast, but just like that, it's going to go by. Now I can look back and I'm so grateful. I could talk about the things I'm so grateful for. My wife wanted to be way up on the high floor. We got floor 17 out of 22. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I could open that door and hear those waves. Just the comfort and the peace. So many things I could be thankful for, but it's gone and it's over. But yet that was just a taste of the wonderful things that God has in store for us. And he gives us, as I would call it, those pods of peace along the way that we can share as we go over the mountains and see the beauty. And even though the leaves are there, it's still a beautiful drive. And it's still, I can say, wow, they're actually doing a pretty good job on I-75 for those of you that have come that way. Once it's done, it's great. It's just the time that they're working on it. But I would rather be, you know, not grumbling and go, wow, they're always working on the road somewhere. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, because people drive and there's more cars on the road. They're always going to be working on the roads. So we can either say that, you find yourself getting into a negative complaining attitude. Or you can say, wow, I can't wait till these are done. For those that remember, years ago, they were working in Louisville on the road system and highways right around the Galt House there. And it was really confusing, and signs were up, and it was hard to figure out where to go. And most of that's finished now, and it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's great. So we can either think about the ingratitude and complaining, or we can think about the wonderful good things that God's given to us. Visit me with your salvation, Psalm 106, verse 4. Verse 5, that I may see the good of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. There still are good things in our country. There still are people, not even called by God, that still love our country, that still appreciate this country. But the media shows that other side all the time, so you're going to get that kind of thing all the time, hitting one after another. Yes, is there evil? Yes, there is. Does it have to be repented of? Yes, there is. But there's also still a lot of good. We've got some wonderful neighbors. You know, it's nice to live in a place where you've got good neighbors. I don't take that for granted. We've had some we've known that did not have good neighbors. That makes life pretty difficult when you want to come home to a house or to a neighborhood. So another thing to be grateful for. Verse 6, it says, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers did not comprehend your wonders in Egypt." They forgot history. They didn't remember the multitude of your mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. And Psalm 106, verse 8, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it was dried up, and he led them through the depths and through the wilderness. And he saved them from the land of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of their enemy." And God wanted that to be taught down the line. You know what we want to do with our history? Throw it out. These were lessons that we don't want to go through again. People come on the scene and want to do away with history from the things. Yes, there are wrong things, but we don't want to forget those things. We don't want to have another civil war again. And there's a memory of those and those that have been killed and all the evil things that have taken place. Verse 11, it says, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed, then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. What does that remind you of? They did not wait for his counsel. They wanted a king, didn't they? They did not wait. God, this is frustrating. Samuel's sons have become evil. He was going, you guys are pointing the finger at these guys and your heart is just as bad. That might be obvious, but he knew their hearts. He go, he gave him a king. And that, out of that, God made lemonade, didn't he? Out of those lemons, God made lemonade. Because we have established God through his promises, established our country to this day. And a lot of people don't want to think that. British and, you know, the descendancy of Joseph and the promises, so many people, even in this country, a lot of good people don't want to think that. No, that didn't happen. We're not descendants. That's not our history. I rejoice in the fact that God said this was going to happen. And I'm in a country that God made happen, not man. God made happen, because this country should not be here. So when I observe the day of Thanksgiving, I thank God for the abundance that he gave to us. And I should be more thankful than ever than the pilgrims that got here and lost so many people and went through so much hardship. And yet they were thankful. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, a couple you don't have to turn to, or we're going to go to Jeremiah. Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, of the rock that begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten that God formed you. Have we ever forgotten sometimes because we've been so overwhelmed in life that God still looks down upon us, he still smiles upon us, he goes, I know you're going through a rough time, but I love you and I care for you, and it's going to be okay. Thank God for the Sabbath that we can remember that, or the times that we set apart to thank God for his blessings, or the times that we can come before God and say, God, I've got a heavy heart. God, I'm hurting right now. You know that. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your strength to get through these things. We have a God that notices that, that knows that. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. While you're going there, Jeremiah 2, verse 32, this is the one I was kind of looking for from a woman some of you might remember, Irma Bombeck. She said, Thanksgiving dinners take 18 hours to prepare. I am mindful of that. I am so grateful when I go to a Thanksgiving meal because I know and have witnessed and seen the prep that goes into it. We've already got our turkey. We did that a couple weeks ago, just in case some run came on and the truck stopped. We thought we better get it now. We got our turkey. So preparation, not just for camps and for feasts for Thanksgiving. Okay, what do we want here now? We want the green beans, which I like with that nice gravy on it with the French onions. The only time we seem to do that's Thanksgiving. And even though I don't like a cranberry sauce that much, I'll even eat some. Just because it's a part of Thanksgiving, I'll have some of that too. But it's just massive undertaking. And she continues, she goes, Thanksgiving dinners take 18 hours to prepare. They're consumed in 12 minutes. Halftime takes 12 minutes. This is not a coincidence. Man named H.W. Westermeyer said, the pilgrims made seven times more graves than huts, nevertheless set aside a day of Thanksgiving. Ethel Watts Mumford, she must have had a rough time, she said, God gave us our relatives. Thank God we can choose our friends. William Jennings Bryan said, on Thanksgiving Day, we acknowledge our dependence. very interesting way of looking at that. Basil Carpenter, thank God every day when you get up that you have something to do that day, which must be done, whether you like it or not. Being forced to work and forced to do your best will breed you in temperance and self-control, diligence and strength of will, cheerfulness and content, and 100 virtues which the idle will never know. Think about that when you've got so much to do. I better post that in my office. I've got all these things to do. I'm grateful that I've got stuff to do. It's interesting. In what Thanksgiving, in what country, question for you, here's your quiz for today. In which country is Thanksgiving, ironically, not celebrated? Turkey. Another quote, Thanksgiving to God is an exuberant response to giving me his everything by giving him my everything. Some pretty neat quotes that they have here. I don't want to go through all those just to give you a few, though. Let's go to Jeremiah 2, verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Can a bride forget her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Brethren, look at the history. That's what the Bible is all about. That's the importance why God had all this written down, so we can see what happened. And then we go through what we're going to today, and some people think like it's something new. This is just a repeat. They've already done that. They've got sandals. You know, different cultures, different times, but the same attitudes, the same forgetfulness. Chapter 3, verse 21 of Jeremiah. Chapter 3, verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. And they did. God brought them back. They went back into it. God brought them out. We'll see that in a minute here. Chapter 13 of Jeremiah, verse 25. Again, these are all quotes now in Jeremiah because he was telling his people what they had done. And these were pretty much repeats here. Chapter 13, verse 25, this is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You went that way, so I'm going to give it to you. And he warned them, and he warned them, and warned them, and finally said, that's it. What's happening today? This country is getting their warning and warning and warning, and God's going to finally go, that's it. And most of us here are waiting for that switch to flick, aren't we? When's it going to finally go? I don't know. This I will say. What I've learned from the past is how merciful God is. Maybe we should have gone down some time ago. Maybe for whatever reason, God has said, no, I'm going to continue on for whatever purpose it's here. And then I thought as I read a scripture, I thought, can you believe that it might be us? Can you believe that it might be the church that's not ready yet? Because it says the bride has made herself ready. Then think about that scripture. Before all these things can take place, the first fruits that are going to be used have got to be prepared. Are we ready? Can you look in the mirror and say, I'm ready, I'm prepared? If not, there is something we can do about it. Oh God, we can't think. We can't look in the mirror and go, well, what's God going to do with me? That's not the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. All of us here have got things that we need to overcome and grow in. All of us. And that's what he expects. You know, isn't Thanksgiving, though, a great time to go, wow, God, you've been so merciful to me. Maybe I've been ungrateful. Maybe I've not done this. But guess what? Through your Spirit, I want to change. I want to be a part of your people. Because we get to change things. This will change. And I love to be a part of that. And I love talking about that. I've said that many times before. Think about the kingdom. And how wonderful it's going to be to change so many things. And not just some of the good things that we see now, some of the accomplishments. And when you build a great, nice, beautiful highway, it's nice. It feels great to travel along there. Then you get along some that have got chuck holes, and later on you see trash thrown all over the place from people who don't care. That's not kingdom stuff. We are going to teach people, no, that's recklessness and not caring about your brother. You don't do that kind of thing. In fact, we teach our kids at camp, you might not have thrown it out, but if you see something, let's pick it up. Let's do that. Let's give to other people. These small things that we can teach our kids along the way. To be respectful. Yes, sir. We teach our kids at camp. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Mr. Evans, Mr. Smith, and if it's somebody that's a little younger, you know, Miss Karen or Mr. Todd. Respect. Are the kids today learning that respect? Some are. There are some people that still teach their kids, but that's going by the wayside. Forgetting history. They've forgotten. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. I can't go through all this for time's sake, but this is a wonderful chapter to take a look at. Nehemiah 9, verse 23. Their children, Nehemiah 9, verse 23. Going back to history, teaching a reminder once again. Boy, Israel had it so good. In their heyday, what a blessing. Most beautiful people. All the nations respected them. And they were there to be examples. So are we today. You know, you're going to get, you'll get criticized. Most people don't understand the things that we do today. Are we mindful and thankful? We naturally keep God's holy days. I didn't grow up with that. I kept the wrong days. And God, in his mercy, we all ask that, why me? I don't even want to think that. All I know is thank you, God, that it is me. That you bless me. Deserving? No. But yet I understand this. I understand the concepts of God's days. By the way, I can tell somebody, you know, well, why don't you do this? Well, we absolutely believe in Jesus Christ. I'm excited to share that because a lot of people out there do. They do believe in Jesus Christ. I can't fault them for that. God's just not, I realize they're not any worse, any better. They're just in a part of God's plan. But when I can see that, I don't ever go, well, I'm so much better than you because we know we don't do that. But I can share with them, oh, by the way, we believe in Jesus Christ too. Absolutely. That's our foundation is Jesus Christ. And we start with the Passover in the spring of the year. That's why, by the way, again, we can be excited about that. Not, well, we don't do that. No, that's why we don't do that. That's why we don't keep Christmas, because it's not in the Bible. And there are pagan practices. And do you know a lot of people know about that? Well, it's pagan, but we know that God said, don't worship the other nations. And again, it doesn't have to be negative. God said back then, don't worship the people the way that they do. This is what we do. And we show, and we can teach them the plan. And we can be excited for it. And we can be grateful and thankful for it. And who knows what God will do with that. Maybe not now, but maybe later. We are preparing for this, to be mindful of this. And that's why you get these things that are so important, even to the camp directors and to our leadership out there, because they see the need for our kids to know, to understand, and be helped. We can't do it for the parents. But if we can take a short week or a short 4 days and give them that and reinforce that, that is very important for our kids. And they're, believe it or not, they thirst for it. Because when you're teaching that in the family, they see the difference. And if they're being led by God, they're going to see the difference and not like that. They're not going to be led by that. They're not going to go, well, you know, you get all these presents. No, you get the Feast of Tabernacles. Probably with some gifts in there as well that mom and dad or somebody else are going to give to you and get to go to the beach and do all these wonderful things. But, by the way, that's only a part of that. We go up because we're worshiping the God that gave us this, teaching them the most important things to our children. Verse 23 of Nehemiah 9, their children are also multiplied you as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land concerning which you had promised to their fathers that they should go in and possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave to them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with it as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed the houses full of all goods, wells dug, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, were filled, became fat, and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Remember, does that bring a scripture? Do you know, when you go through the Bible, you go, I know associated scripture with that now. Do you remember the scripture in Deuteronomy where it says, by the way, I want to tell you, when you come into the land that I'm giving to you and you possess wells that you didn't dig and houses that you didn't build, beware lest you become ungrateful and unthankful. He already said that. Now we're just talking history. Before that, he warned them. Now we're after when they actually did that. And he goes, remember when you came into that land? That's exactly what they're saying. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and they rebelled against you and cast your law behind their backs, slew your prophets who testified against them to turn to you and wrought great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard them from heaven. And according to your manifold mercies, you gave them saviors. Who would you say, who would you put in line with this? I can think of one. Can you think of any saviors he gave to them as they're talking about it? Not like Jesus Christ, but he delivered them. Samson, he gave them people that would come in and help them. He had mercy on them. And it says, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, verse 28, they did evil again. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried to you, you heard them from heaven. And many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back again to your law. Yet they dealt proudly, didn't listen to your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he will live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, hardened their neck. That's why he called them stiff-necked, hardened their neck, and they wouldn't listen. Yet many years you did forbear with them and testified against them by your spirit and your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, God gave them into the hand of the people of the lands. And you see history repeated itself. So you go back to the time of Jesus Christ. You know what's so incredible? I still shake my head in disbelief. We've never been in bondage to any man. What were they drinking? We've never been in bondage. And right there, the Romans are right there. We've never been in bondage. How delusional people will get. And we have been given the reality of what God has for us. And we get a taste for it every year. Why is it that you sometimes go, I can't wait till Passover comes. I can't wait till the season comes again. I can't wait to get together with God's people to renew that, because the Spirit in us thirsts for that. It thirsts for that. We can't do without it. Can't wait to come to Sabbath services. Can't wait to be together with God's people. And it was just a repeat because, and God knew it, they didn't have the Spirit of God, but it was there for a testimony. So let's bring it up to today, Revelation 2, verse 1. Then we'll close out here. Revelation 2, verse 1. So in going there, I'll just give a couple of points here. Not critical points, but just a reminder. Number one, Thanksgiving may be an American holiday, but it's not a holy day. I remember some years ago, somebody wrote a paper on it being pagan or whatever. This day, written by, put into practice by Abraham Lincoln, put into practice right around 1941, was a day given to thank God, not to worship God, never to be a replacement, not to be a worship service. It's not a holy day. It is not set aside as a day of worship. It's not a commanded assembly. And it was not made to replace or corrupt the law of God. It's a day to give thanksgiving to God. Revelation 2, verse 1. Now let's think on our side, because we just read about what happened to the Israelites. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, and these things, these messages are for us today. They were given to the churches, but they're messages for us today. Verse 2, I know your works, and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear or tolerate those who are evil, and you have tried those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. I see a group of people today that went through this, that have gone through this. This has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled in our time. You've watched, you've looked. Verse 3, and you've borne, and you've had patience, and for my name's sake you've labored and have not fainted. That's where the joy that came into my heart at the feast this year, when I'm seeing these people, because I've seen splits and all these things happen, and people just leaving and saying, well, if that happens again, I'm out of here. What? I don't care how many times it happens. I'm going to get up, look for where God's truth is being proclaimed, look for God's people who believe this and come together for a holy Sabbath day, and that will never stop. I understand the difference in corporations being started up as a result of what we have to deal with today. Verse 4, though, watch this. So we've all gone through this. And he looks at that and goes, great. And he said, nevertheless, I have something against you because you've left your first love. Maybe somehow we've gotten hardened or forgot this, because we start to establish, remember as we went through Job? Job got his guard up. All the things that you were confronted with, and you start to get yourself hardened, even against the leadership. I go, oh, it's all their fault. You have no idea. If you've not asked, ask them what they've gone through. Instead of listening to somebody else who just, somebody simply will just come up with, you know, all these things that happen, it's all their fault. What? You have no idea. Number one, you're judging unrighteously. You have no idea. And I'm sorry, that makes me aggravated. I do get upset at that, because that's wrong. All this is in together. Read Ezekiel 34. There is an indictment among the priests who ruled with cruelty, that fed off that halfway through. And as for you, my flock, just because you've gone through all this, you muddy the water for everybody else. So you'll go, I'm not going to be a part of any organization anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. That's wrong. That's unthankful. And that's not judging correctly. And we forgot how God called us into the church and blessed us to be thankful and not critical. Ask questions? Absolutely. Got a problem? Absolutely. No problem with that. We don't have to zip our lips and not question or not say anything, but it's also in the spirit of how we do it. Humility, thankfulness, greatness, kindness, gentleness, all that package with the Holy Spirit that makes us remember the blessing of how God brought us in to his church. How we thirsted for it. Couldn't wait to get that next magazine. Now people go, hey, have you watched The Unaccord lately? Nah. Really? That's showing you what's going on in our church. Well, you know, I don't know why they pick that site or why are they doing that one? How come they're not doing, I like Myrtle, how come they're not? Listen, there's thought behind it. There's days and a year that our festival coordinators are going through this, looking for places, looking at where everybody is, and how far people sometimes have to drive, so we're bringing it in. And I remember 1980 when I was baptized. Detroit, Michigan was the feast. Detroit. You know what I didn't do at that time? How can they, in the world, can they have the feast in Detroit, Michigan? Are you kidding me? Detroit? I went. I could have gone somewhere else. I had an awesome feast in Detroit, Michigan. A big choir. Being a part of that choir was just so top-notch. And we can all have enjoyment wherever we go. It doesn't matter. Every place, I go, wow, that's a great one. Wow, that's a good one. Wow, that's super. And all the process that goes into it. You left your first love. You didn't remember the humility and the thankfulness and the gratefulness, because now you become so stuffed with everything that's been presented to us, the correspondence courses, the magazines, the blogs, everything that comes out, and we end up starting to grumble and complain, leaving our first love. and it could be manifested in other ways as well. Verse 5, it says, remember therefore from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. And if you go back to some of the first works, if you put them together, what did Christ say is the most important? Judgment. He meant righteous judgment. Mercy. Judgment, mercy, and faith. The weightier matters of the law. Just a couple more quotes before I end. One, Irv Kupchaknet, his name is, says, an optimist is a person who starts a new diet on Thanksgiving Day. William Faulkner, I don't know if there's any relation here, gratitude is quality similar to electricity. It must be produced and discharged and used up in order to exist at all. E.P. Powell said, Thanksgiving Day is a jewel to set in the hearts of honest men, but be careful that you do not take the day and leave out the gratitude. We got a special day coming up. I intend to fully enjoy this. I intend to think about this before I do, to not just make it a day where I'm eating and watching football games, to be thankful to God, to be with my family, to be with my grandchildren, to be thankful that God's given me a family, to be thankful that God's given me a food, to be thankful that God's given me a free nation. Let us give thanks to God, not just this Thursday, not just on the Thursday on the fourth week of the November each year, but every day as we arise and during the day and as we lay our heads down at night. Give thanks to God the Father and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for they are good and their mercy endures forever. Have a wonderful Sabbath and a wonderful Thanksgiving.